Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masechet Arachin Daf Yod Gimel Amud Bet. About to begin our study of the third parak. We're going to study it in three podcasts. As we saw in the previous parak, the Mishnah will begin with a rule about Arachin, and then we'll again go into a tangent of parallel wording and parallel systems within the entire range of halakha. And what these will all have in common is they are all pieces that have what we refer to as kesev katsuv, meaning a set amount that the Torah prescribes that must be given in certain circumstances. The first one we started was, of course, with arachin, and here we go. Yesh ba'arachin lahakel ulahachmir. The arachin has a component to it which is more lenient and, on the other hand, more severe. And in this case, it means more lenient or more severe than damim, as we will see. The same is true about redeeming stei achuza, and we'll get into definitions in a few moments, from hekdesh. Veshor muad shemita eved lakel achmir. If a shor muad kills somebody else's eved kanani, you have to pay 30 shekel. That as a kulan chumra. Ba'onisim fatev motzi shemra lakel ula achmir. And those are the four mishnayot that we're going to have in this parak. The first one is arachin. Yesh ba'arachin lakel achmir ketzad. Echad shariachat anayesh b'Yisrael v'taka urbi yesh b'Yisrael. So whether you say, I'm giving the erach of this person who's a great, beautiful, fantastic person who's 35 years old and that's a guy, it's 50 shekel. Or the most disgusting person who happens to be between 20 and 16 is a guy, noten 50 sela. But v'ima mahare damavalai, but if on the other hand you said not erchko alai, but damavalai, then noten et shovyon becomes subjective. Okay, yishmachin lakel, etc. Ketzar achat, sherich, etc. And we quote the Mishnah. And we note that the language is Echad Shemichet Yisrael of Israel, and we would expect then Atakaur Shebegoyim. But it said Yisraelim Begoylo, in other words, we're only keeping the range of targets of the Arachim as Jews. It sounds like we are following against Reb Meir, as we saw in the first parak. The non Goy, Reb Meir says a Goy is included as a target of Arachim. The answer is Afilu Temer Meir. Even a Meir would subscribe to the Mishnah. Who didn't Afilu Goy Nami? The truth is that a Goy would be included. Elam Miltag of Urche Kamashpalan. The Mishnah is teaching us something incidentally, which is Rav Yudam Rav Dem Rav Yudam Rav Asur Adam Shemar Kama Naeg Goy Zeh. It's inappropriate to say what a beautiful non-Jew this is. Part of Lo Techanem, which we saw in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Laiten Hamchein. So if that's the case, so why don't you then have the most beautiful of Jews and the most ka'ur shibagoyim? The answer is b'chad uma kamari. It's easier for the Tana to just keep it within one nation. Betray uma lomari, not to go from one to the other. V'lo, we're going to see in the third Mishnah, also in the fourth Mishnah, when we note what the kula and chumra of motzi shemra, etc. is, it doesn't matter whether or not the ones or pitui or the hotzat shemra was on the greatest daughter of the greatest kohen or the smallest of Israel, which means he's willing to talk about two groups. So hatam chad umahu, there it's one nation. Ela makdishu kishi kohen tve. Kohen just have more mitzvot, so mention them separately. But goy and Israel certainly are different. Vibaitema. The other possibility is that that's not at all the reason. It's not because of Rav's admonition against praising a goy, but rather it's a rhetorical consideration. Since they're going to mention stei achuza, which we're going to see in a couple minutes, but we already saw it in the first Mishnah, and that's only Bisrael. The goy lo mishkachat la. The lav b'nei achuza ninu. Goyim do not have an achuza. They don't have that sort of inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. So mishum ha'achitan ilai b'Yisrael. Therefore, we mentioned b'Yisrael also in Arachin, because it's in the same Mishnah. Okay. Now the next Mishnah. Stei achuza lakel lachmir. So a little introduction here. This is all in Parshat Bahar. If a person owns ancestral land, best example, of course, is Malachim Aleph Perek Chaf Aleph, the story with Navota Yisraeli and Achav. Person owns ancestral land that's tribally connected to him, and he received as an inheritance. And if he dedicates it to the Mikdash, then he may redeem it, but he has to redeem it at the value of 50 shekel per Beit Kur. That's the size of the field. And so if it's bigger, then it's going to be more than that, but that's going to be the ratio. And he must redeem it by Yovel in order to make sure that it does not then go to the Kohanim forever if he doesn't redeem it by Yovel. However, that rate of 50 shekel per Beit Kur is if we were to be at the beginning of the 50 years of Yovel. But let's say it was 10 years later, then he would only give 40. And for each year, we diminish it by one until we get to 2 years before the Yovel. Then it goes back up to 50 because there's still two tvuot that are coming. And for that same reason, when a person sells a steachuzah to somebody else, he cannot redeem it for 2 years. We're going to see some more details about that in the Gemara. But for right now, that's steachuzah. Now, on the other hand, if I buy a field from somebody else, that's his ancestral land, from my perspective, it's called stei mikna, a bought field. And if I am makdish that, then we're going to see that there's a dispute about how I redeem it. Okay. Whether you are makdish in a really rotten land, but it's barely arable, it's got to be arable, or in the most beautiful orchards of Sebastia and Shomron, you have to give the same amount of 50 shekel per zerah chomer sorim, which is a Beit Kur. But if it's a stei mikna that you're makdish, then you just give its value. He disagrees and he says either one of them. You have to pay that rate. So how are they different? If it's a stei mikna that I bought from somebody else and I was makdish, I redeem it for its value without adding the fifth. But if it's stei achuza, I'm sent to value, I do it at 50, but I don't have the fifth. Stay achuza, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I have to add the fifth. All right, we're going to see a lot of details about this as we study through this sugya. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna has the following halacha. Hikdish sadeh maleya ilanot. If you're makdish a field that is filled with trees, you cannot redeem it just the field. You have to first redeem the trees based on their value. Then you have to go back and redeem the land based on the rate of 50 per Beit Kur, etc., etc. Now, when I say et cetera, what I mean is that it's 50 per Beit Kur, but the size will determine that, plus, depending how many years to the over, will determine it. Now, Alma Kasav Rav Huna, but what do we see from Rav Huna? Adam Makdish, Payin Nefa Makdish. When a person is Makdish, they do so generously, and therefore, when they were Makdish the trees, they were also Makdish, sorry, when Makdish the field, they were also Makdish the trees, and to redeem separately. Eight Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman turned to Rav Huna and challenged him. From this bright, from our Mishnah, Achara Makdish b'cholat machoz, Achara Makdish b'pardesot. Sebastia and a pardes is an orchard that has trees. Same Beit Zera Chomer Sorim Chamishim Mishka Shalkol Gasef. Our Mishnah said you have to pay per the rate of Stei Achuza, which means the trees are not included. So Amar Leh Reuya Pardesot Kamina. So Rav Huna said what that Mishnah was referring to. Our Mishnah is referring to is not real orchards, but land that's good enough for orchards. So Eitavei, and perhaps this is Rav Nachman's second challenge, Beit Zera, we have a Midrash Halacha on the Pasuk. Beit Zera, in Parshat B'chukotai, Eini Ela Beit Zera, Sedegef Fanim Sdei Kanim Sdei Lanot Minayin. All I know is a grain field. How do I know that a vineyard or a wood field that you're growing things just for wood or a pardes, an orchard, how do I know that has the same Halacha? Talmud Lomar Sadeh Mikol Makom, any sort of field. So you see that even though it's got trees in it, it has the same rate of chamishim shekel without anything else. Amalei, so Rav Huna's answer is, hachinari podeh v'chozer podeh. What that means is that you have to redeem it, the land, at that rate, even though it's not Beit Zera, and then you have to go and redeem the trees. So all we're talking about is the rate of the field. Eitavei, watch the third challenge. Now the normal way of planting is each Beit Zera, which is 70 amot by 70 amot, you put 10 trees in there. So let's say you have a normal size mata, which is that rate, that ratio of trees to land, and you're makdish three of them. So now the land and the little trees that are between the trees you're makdish are all now hektish. So you have to redeem at the value of the land of 50. Pachot mikan, meaning if the field had, if the orchard had less than that amount of trees per Beit Seah, or yatel okein, or it was more crowded, or shiktizan v'zar chazel, you're makdish the trees separately, one after the other, not as a group. The land is not hektesh, nor the trees. Right, which means, but if you're makdish the trees and then the karka, you have to redeem the trees at their value and then go and redeem the land, which is what Rav Huna said, but that's all we're talking about when you were separately makdish the trees explicitly, but when you just makdish the land, it's not included. You mean in the Reisha, you have to redeem both? The Seifa explicitly talked about redeeming at two stages, so it was clear the Reisha is not. So Rav Huna's answer is, that's authored by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, when a person is Makdish, they do so stingily, meaning they give what they say to Hekdesh, but no more. How do we know that? The Tanya. Now, of course, everything's going to be built. His defense is going to be built on saying that that's from Shimon who has the approach. Behind Ra, and I'm taking the approach by Yafa. But how, what's his support? So Tanakama says, if you're Makdish the field, everything's included. Shimon says, the only trees or anything else on the field that's included are a very big carob tree that is grafted, or the stump of a sycamore tree. These are things that seriously nurture from the ground, so you have to say they're included, otherwise they're nurturing from Hekdesh. So they're included in the Hekdesh. But everything else is not included. But Ira B'Shimon, Ema Seifa, how could B'Shimon be the author of the previous Braita? Look at the end. V'lo orel, afi luk tishna on tova chakach yish karka, v'lo podati yom shavien, v'chazor v'odev yitzero chomor hisorim v'chamishim ke'er shal kakasef. In the Braita, you have to, if you remark tish separately, then you have to redeem the trees and then the land. Rabbi Shimon lays about to pinyon v'li farko gavarayu. We know that Rabbi Shimon's position is that when you redeem as per the status of the thing you're redeeming at the time of redemption, and not its status at the time of Hekdesh. And therefore, by the time you come around, even though you're makdish them separately, you have to redeem them all at one shot, which would mean just redeeming b'chamishim shekel kasef, and not two redemptions. How do we know that? We know that Rabbi Shimon maintains that you follow the status of something at the point of pinyon and not the point of Hekdesh. Tanya. Very interesting query. What happens if a guy buys a field from his own father? He's then makdish the field. So right now it's a stay mikna. But then his father dies. How do we know that we treat it like stay achuza and has to redeem it as stay achuza for that value? If it's a stay mikna, which is not stay achuza to. Now, why would the Torah have to say stay mikna, which is not stay achuza? We know that. The Torah means to say a field that could never have been inherited by you, which means as opposed to this one where it was father's, which means it would have become yours. So you see that Rabbi Shimon says we look at the status of the field at the point of pidyon. Right now father died, which means this is considered stay achuza even though you originally bought it from him, and therefore you have to redeem it in that contour. Meir disagrees. Says, only if you bought it and then father died and then you were makdish, meaning that's as far as Rabbi Meir is willing to go. To say, and he quotes the same pasuk, the difference is ruya. According to Rabbi Shimon, as long as this is a field that could have been stei achuza, since right now father's dead and you're redeeming it, we look at it stei achuza. Rameir says it had to be stei achuza, which means father had to die, even though you bought it first, but father had to die before the Hekdesh, so we go after the moment of Hekdesh, not Pidyon. But Rabbi Shimon says, so according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what we're concerned with here is Rabbi Shimon, if you're makdish it and then father died, it's still stei achuza. So my time. It can't be based on the pasuk because kralach hermeiriata. The pasuk is actually supporting her mayor. There must be a general principle that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have, which is you always go after the status at pidyon. So Amnachem Yitzchak, he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda Shimon Krash Kachuv Darsh. They found the same pasuk in the Darshan. It's not because of a general principle. It's because of a local pasuk. Because Imken Lichtor Rachmana Imetzter Miknato Ashalo Achuzato. The Torah could have said, if it was only the teacher of Meir's position, if it's a Ste Mikna, which was not his inheritance. My Miste Achuzato. Why did the Torah put in the extra word Ste Achuzato? Sadeshen Eriyali Orte Achuzah. It has to be a field that never could have been Ste Achuzah. So that means now that Rabbi Shimon does not hold that you go Batashat Pidyon. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda only say what they do about this particular case because of a Pasuk, which means we now go back and say the previous bright that could have been authored by Rabbi Shimon, because he would not necessarily say you go Batashat Pidyon, and Rabbi Huna is again defended, because he could say that bright that indicated that you have to redeem, that the trees are not included, that's Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's position is that, Makdish Pa'in Ra'ah, who Makdish. Okay, Amar Papa. Hikdish Trashin. Trashin is a very bad land that's not arable at all. That's why I mentioned in the Mishnah, Macholat Machoz means it has to be something that's barely arable. Podan Meshivyan, meaning that even though this is ancestral land, you redeem it at its value, not at the 50. Maitama. Beit Zera, Marachmana, the Torah talked about Beit Zera, a place that seeds are. Hanadab Nezriyanina, this is not a place you could plant. Lo Gyalan, that if you did not redeem it by Yovel, then Yotzin be Yovel, they do go to the Kohanim. Meaning that this is sort of Ste Achuzah, sort of not. It's not Ste Achuzah for purposes of Pidyon, because it's not Beit Zera Chomes Orim. There's no Zera. But if you don't redeem it by Yovel, it doesn't come back to you, nor does it stay in Hekdesh. It goes to the Kohanim in perpetuity. My time, Asadeh Machmana. The Torah said the Sadeh goes to the Kohanim. Called to who? Any field. This is a field. But Machar Trashin, if you sold that kind of land, Nigalin Pachot Mishtei Shanim, you can redeem it immediately. You don't have to wait the 2 years that you normally have to wait when you sell Ste Achuzah to let the other guy have two crops. You can redeem it right away. My Tama, Mispar Shnei Tvot, Amar Achmana. The Torah said you have to let him keep it for years of Tvuot. Shnei Tvot is not two, but years of Tvuot of crops, which is the minimum two, which means you have to let the guy have it for at least 2 years before you can force him to sell it back to you. And V'haylav B'nei Tvoyinu, but Trashim don't have Tvuot, so you could force him to sell it back to you right away. Lo Gyalan, but if you didn't redeem it, Chozer L'Balim L'Beyovel, it does come back Beyovel, even though it didn't produce anything. Raitama V'shav L'Chuzato, at Yovel you come back to your ancestral inheritance, and that's what this is. Even it doesn't, you can't plant anything there, it's still achuzah. Hikdish ilanot podevish over here. Now we have a parallel to the Trashin piece, which is if you're makdish trees, again, podam b'shovehen, you redeem them not at chamishim, but rather at their value. And this is the opposite of Trashim. Unlike Ste Achuzah, so Ste Achuzah is like Trashim that it's a field, but Trashim is not like Ste Achuzah because it doesn't produce anything. Ilonot are like Ste Achuzah because they produce something, but they're not a field. So each one is missing something. So they're going to be the parallel halachot. Hikdish ilanot podam b'shovehen, you redeem it at their value. My time, a Beit Zera, Marachmana, v'lo ilanot. It's got to be Beit Zera, something that's seeded and not trees. Lo galan en yotzim l'kohanim b'yovel. If you don't redeem them, they don't go to the kohanim b'yovel. Why? V'yas sader, Marachmana. Now here is where it is not parallel, because in neither case it's going to be treated like Ste Achuzah. It will not go to the kohanim b'yovel, because v'yas sader, Marachmana, v'lo ilanot. The Torah says the field goes to the Kohanim, not trees. Machar ilanot ein nigalin pachot mishtei shanim. But on the other hand, if you sell ilanot, you may not force the sale back for 2 years. By time, ashtei tfuot amachmana, v'hanim b'nei tfuot ninu. The trees, like a good field, do have crops, so you gotta let them have 2 years of crops. Lo galan ein chozer l'balim b'yovel. But if you don't redeem them, they don't come back to you b'yovel. Why my time, v'shavu l'chuzato amachmana, you return to your inheritance, v'lo ilanot. Your trees are not an inheritance. Why do we say that if you mark these trees, you redeem them at their value? Why don't we say they're part of the land, you redeem them with their land? You think that when you are Makdish trees, the opposite of Rav Huna's case. When you Makdish land, are the trees included? Here we're suggesting when you Makdish trees, the land is included. So you're going to argue that if you Makdish trees, the land's not included, If a person sells a tree to another, he has acquired from the top of the tree all the way to the depths of the earth at that point. So you do get land. The answer is lav mit mar lav v'am machmatana, but that's only, we already know that that's only in a case where the buyer comes with a claim that he owns land underneath. We don't default with that sort of understanding. Okay, stay mikrano ten shovyo. So you said we have this machloket or b'liezer and chachamim. Whether or not stay mikna is redeemed at its value, chachamim, or at chamishim, which is Rebbe Eliezer, and then Rebbe Eliezer then says, however, stay mikna, you don't add the chomish. Let's see what happens. Tana Rabbanan. Bimichsat, you redeem stay mikna, bimichsat. What does that mean? For stay achuzah, we have that set rate. Yacholav stay mikna, kein, I might think the same is true about stay mikna. That's why it says michsat, which is a schum, a certain a set amount, not a set amount, but a amount that's based on the particulars. Right, v'chishav et shneim karo is something which says with stay mikna stay achuzah. Malan devar katsuv, kan devar katsuv. So it's a set amount, which means that it's only it's 50, and it's not based on the particular field. So now, do the Rabbanan agree that v'chishav v'chishav is a gzerah shava? They just use it for chomesh, so they said, you do not redeem stei mikna at the set amount of 50, but it's at its own value, but you do, like stei achuzah at a chomesh. Maybe they don't have chomesh at all. It seems that they don't accept the gzerah shava at all. Why? Since the Torah went out of its way to tell us that you pay a chomesh when you redeem stei achuzah and when you makdish your house and you redeem that, so now it's shnei ktuvim, and therefore wherever the Torah does not state explicitly that you have to pay a chomesh, you don't have to pay a chomesh because of shnei ktuvim. The principle behind that, of course, as we said many times, is that if the Torah wanted something to be a universal concept, it would have said it once. The fact that it says it twice means that it's limited to those two cases. But we have Rabbi Yehuda, Alamanda Ramamdin, Rabbi Yehuda in Kiddushin says that Shnei Ktuvim Kechad can still inform. Nonetheless, here, here the Torah says that when you have to redeem Maaser, behemat Torah, that when you have to read chomesh, b'maaser, and the other chomashim that we have, the tuva. Now we've got lots of places where the Torah says chomesh. Then everybody will agree in Malam Din. You can't apply it anywhere else except where the Torah said it. Tanya kote to Rava. Now we have support for Rava v'lo mitameh, but not for his reason. Tanya michsat ha'erkachai kishua ketuv la'arachin ma'arachin en mosif chomesh. Why does the Torah use the word erkacha in the context of redeeming stei mikna to compare to arachin? Just like arachin, we don't add a chomesh. You pay the amount, not an extra fifth. In the same way, you don't pay a chomesh for stei mikna, which is what Rava said, but from a very different argument. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel, is b'shor ha'mu'ad she'mita ta'evad la'kel achmir. Where's the kulan chumra of paying the set 30 shekel, should be fairly obvious, of paying the 30 shekel if your shor hamuad killed somebody else's eved kanani. That's easy. Ketzar, achad shemita tana'esh b'avadim v'taka'ush b'avadim. Whether you killed the nicest of the avadim, most beautiful, the strongest, or the weakest and worst, noten shloshim sela, you have to give 30. But hemit ben chori noten shavyo. If your animal killed a free man, then you have to give his value, whatever his value is. Chaval b'zeh b'zeh, if the animal only damaged but didn't kill either one, free or slave, noten nezak shalem, you give nezak shalem, but so it's not a set amount. The only time there's a set amount is a shor muad, killed an eved kanani. Now, the mu'adim batam lo, why does our Mishnah talk about shor mu'ad? This is the same thing we did on Mishnah Aleph when we asked about arachin, why they mentioned Yisrael. Here they mention mu'ad. Why? Manit lokar b'kiva. It sounds like our Mishnah does not follow b'kiva. No, b'kiva omer, avtam shechaval ba'adam, mishalim motar nezak shalem. That if a short tam hurt a person, he pays nezak shalem. Meaning, the rule that a tam only pays half A nezek is only when he's mazik another animal, but not a person. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. No, said Chachamim say it's still half. So why was the tam left out of our Mishnah? Evidently against Rabbi Akiva. The answer is afilu tam Rabbi Akiva. Even Rabbi Akiva could agree. Wadin afilu tam nami, and tam could be included. Vaidi kabal mit na seifa, mit ever, mit ben chorin. But since the seifa, meaning the beginning of the second part of the Mishnah, talks about killing Eved or killing a Ben Chorin, the Muad would mishgach alav. That's only true about a Muad, meaning only in the case of a Muad would you pay the 30. Betamlo mishgach alav. Mishumachik tani Muad. Therefore, they mention Muad in the entire Mishnah. Again, just like we had Yisrael as our second answer of why Yisrael was mentioned in Arachin, because of the Steachuzah that could only be about Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop at this point, pick it up with our middle podcast of this parak, or on some fatel, akel lachmir. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.